You know that exact moment of panic?
Absolutely. When the internet drops.
Yes, you're sitting at your desk, or maybe you're at a coffee shop, deeply focused, typing away in your favorite web app, and boom.
The little offline dinosaur
Right,
appears.
the dinosaur. And just like that, you are completely locked out of your own work. I mean, you can't save, you can't edit, sometimes you can't even look at the notes you literally just wrote.
Yeah, because you're effectively just renting access to your own thoughts. It's a really fragile way to work. You're relying on this constant tether to a server hundreds of miles away just to interact with your own keyboard.
Exactly. And even when the internet is working perfectly, there's always this underlying anxiety. Like if you're typing up sensitive company strategy or personal financial plans, you're fundamentally trusting that the massive server farm holding your data won't get breached.
Right, you're relying entirely on their security policies and, hoping an employee doesn't make a mistake.
It's crazy when you think about it. But what if you didn't have to make that trade-off? That is the mission for this deep dive. We are looking at a totally different approach to this problem using a system called MinduDB, and specifically its visual workspace, which is called Haven.
And this is really a fundamental shift back to local first computing.
Yeah, and we're tailoring this deep dive specifically for you, the listener. Even if you don't consider yourself a software engineer or some technical expert, our goal is to walk you through exactly how you can go to their beta site right now, set up a secure workspace, collaborate with a team, and actually run your own apps.
All without giving up ownership of your data, which is the key part. And actually, you can follow along with us. Both Haven and MinduDB are currently in their beta phase, so you can test the environment for free at https.haven.mundub.com.
Okay, let's unpack this. We really need to understand the mechanics here because, well, this isn't just a web app with a better privacy policy, right? It's built basically backwards from how normal software works.
It really is. And to grasp it, we have to look at the two distinct parts of the system. There's MinduDB, and then there's Haven.
Right, so break those down for us.
Sure. So the best way to separate them is to think of MinduDB as the invisible engine underneath everything. It's the database layer that stores the info, handles the complex math for the encryption, and manages how the data syncs.
But I'm not like typing commands into MinduDB directly.
Exactly, no. You interact with Haven. Haven is the visual interface. It's the front door, and it runs entirely inside your web browser.
And when we say it runs inside your browser, that is where this concept of local first computing comes in. Because normally, when I go to a website, every time I click a button, I'm asking a server to send me a new page.
Right, a round trip over the internet.
But with Haven, almost everything you see on the screen is being served from a local replica stored directly on your own device.
Yeah, which changes the entire dynamic. I mean, because the data in the interface are living locally in your browser, the speed is practically instantaneous.
So no loading spinners.
Basically none. And more importantly, if you lose your Wi-Fi in that coffee shop we talked about, nothing stops. The interface doesn't freeze up. You just keep working, saving, and navigating.
Because your computer doesn't need to ask permission from a server to show you your own data.
Precisely.
Okay, let's walk through the actual setup process at https.haven.mindedb.com because I think it really illustrates how different this architecture is. When you first load it up, you get this first 10 minutes wizard.
Right, the onboarding.
Yeah, and it asks you to create a local tenant, which is essentially just your private workspace. But the wizard makes you create two separate identities, right? Like a normal user identity and an admin identity. Why both?
Well, keeping those roles separate is a structural safeguard. Like, if someone somehow discovers the password you use for your daily tasks, they only compromise that specific user level.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they don't get the admin privileges required to, say, delete the workspace or fundamentally alter the directory.
That makes sense. But what really caught my attention is what that user identity actually is. Like when I sign up for a normal web service, my identity is just, a row on their corporate database.
Right, in a server somewhere.
But in Haven, your user identity is a cryptographic file created completely locally right there on your hard drive.
This is a crucial distinction, actually. That local file holds your public details, but it also holds your encrypted private keys, and it's locked by a strong password that you create.
Which stays entirely on my machine.
Exactly. Because that file is generated locally and stays local, nobody outside of your device has the key to unlock it.
Which brings up a slightly terrifying, but I guess necessary reality of this system. There is no forgot my password link anywhere.
There can't be. I mean, if a company can reset your password, it means they hold the ultimate key to your data.
Right, they have a back door.
Exactly. By removing that backdoor, Haven enforces absolute ownership. If you lose your password, your data is mathematically inaccessible forever. There is no customer support team you can call to bypass the encryption.
Wow. Okay, so if I'm understanding the underlying mechanism here, using a traditional cloud app is like renting a desk in a massive corporate skyscraper. The landlord holds a master key. The security guards can theoretically rifle through your filing cabinet. And if the building loses power, you're locked out.
That's a great way to put it.
But using Haven is like downloading a highly secure, completely indestructible office building directly into your backpack. You carry the building with you, and you are literally the only entity in the universe with the front door key.
That is essentially what is happening mathematically, yes. And the idea of carrying it with you is quite literal, actually. Haven is built as a progressive web app, or a PWA.
Right, so you can install it directly onto the home screen of your iPhone or your iPad or an Android device.
Yeah, you just tap Add to Home Screen, and the browser address bar vanishes.
Yeah.
It opens in standalone mode. So, you know, it feels exactly like a native app you'd download from an app store.
Which is incredibly useful for everyday work.
But wait, I read that you can actually install multiple copies of Haven on the exact same phone. Yes. And they are kept completely isolated from one another. Because of how modern mobile operating systems handle PWAs, the storage is entirely sandboxed.
Okay, so practically speaking, I could have one Haven icon on my phone dedicated strictly to my personal life. Like taxes, private journals, home renovations.
Yep.
And I could have a second Haven icon for my freelance client work. And because the operating system isolates them, my client data and my personal data literally cannot cross-contaminate.
Exactly. Even though they are running on the exact same device, it provides an absolute firewall between different areas of your life.
That is wild. Okay, so I have this impenetrable office building in my backpack. I'm working offline, my data is isolated, and everything is completely secure. But, I mean, realistically, work requires collaboration.
It does.
So if my office is a closed fortress, how do I actually let my team in without just putting my data back on a vulnerable cloud server?
Well, to collaborate, you have to establish a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
From the Preferences menu inside Haven, you can deploy your local tenant to a MinduDB server.
Okay, but doesn't that defeat the purpose?
It's vital to understand the role of this server. It is not a traditional host reading your files. It acts purely as a relay station. Just passing locked briefcases between you and your team.
Okay, and the process for bringing someone onto the team is pretty intense. They use what's called a zero-trust joining process.
Right.
Let's say I want to invite you to my workspace. In a normal app, I just type in your email, you get a link, and boom, you're in. That is not how Haven works at all.
Not even close.
The analogy that helped me wrap my head around it is, it's like I'm sending you a locked safe through the mail, but I'm forcing myself to hand you the combination in person over a cup of coffee.
I like that. That physical separation of the safe and the combination is the absolute core of zero trust. So let's trace the steps. To join your workspace, I actually have to initiate the process.
Right. You ask me.
Exactly. I generate a join request from my own Haven client. This generates a public key URL, which I then send to you.
And because it only contains public keys, it's essentially just an address. I can send that over a standard text message, an email, drop it in a public Slack channel, whatever, it's safe.
Correct, it contains no secrets. So now you, as the admin, receive my request, you verify it, and you click Grant Tenant Access. This is where the separation happens. Haven generates two things for you to give back to me.
A join response URL and a short shared password.
Right.
And the system practically begs you not to send both of those things in the same message. I have to send you the URL via email, maybe, but then I need to call you on the phone or use Signal to tell you the password. Why can't I just put both in a secure text?
Because that shared password unlocks something called the key bag.
The key bag.
Yeah, the key bag is the local cryptographic vault residing in your browser that holds the encryption keys for the entire shared workspace.
Oh, wow.
So if someone has compromised your email account, and you send both the encrypted data and the password to unlock it in the same email thread, you've handed them everything. By forcing you to use an entirely separate communication channel for the password, it neutralizes the threat of intercepted messages.
That is brilliant. So even if a hacker is reading every email we send each other, they only get the lock safe. They never hear the phone call where I give you the combination.
Precisely. And once you've joined the workspace, the security protocols governing your edits are extremely strict. Every single time you alter a document, that change is mathematically signed with your private key to prove it was you.
Right, and then it's encrypted.
Yes. Using the AES 256 GCM standard, all before it ever leaves your local browser.
So basically, by the time the data hits the relay server, it's just mathematical noise.
The server only sees ciphertext. It stores that noise, and it pushes that noise to the rest of the team's browsers. But the server itself have absolutely zero ability to read what the documents actually contain.
All right, well, I'm going to push back here because this brings up a massive logistical problem.
Yeah.
Wait, if two people are completely offline, right? Like, let's say I'm on a flight from New York to London, offline.
Okay.
You are on a flight to Tokyo, also totally offline. I open a company proposal document, and I change a crucial paragraph. You open the exact same proposal, completely unaware of my work, and change the exact same paragraph.
I see where this is going.
We both land, our phones hit the cellular networks, and our Haven clients instantly push those conflicting edits to the server at the same time. In almost any other software, this results in a catastrophic data collision. Or it just creates two separate files and says, you know, figure it out yourself.
Yeah, the classic sync error.
Exactly. So how does a relay server that can't even read the data sort out that mess?
It's a great question, and honestly, it's one of the hardest problems in distributed computing. But MinduDB resolves it using auto-merge CRDTs.
CRDTs. You are going to have to translate that out of computer science for me.
Fair enough. A CRDT is a conflict-free replicated data type.
Oh.
Basically, instead of looking at a document as one giant final picture and trying to smash our two different pictures together, AutoMerge treats the document as a timeline of individual keystrokes.
Oh, interesting. So it's tracking the atomic actions, not just the end result.
Yes. So when our computers reconnect, Haven doesn't just ask the server which document is right. It exchanges our timelines.
I see.
It sees that, say, at position 50, user A added the word urgent, and at position 50, user B deleted a comma. It uses fixed, predictable rules to weave those two timelines together seamlessly.
So it doesn't just overwrite your paragraph with mine.
No, it doesn't guess. It merges the concurrent changes at the character level, preserving the intent of both edits without ever popping up a conflict error.
That makes so much more sense. It's just like playing the tape forward for both of us simultaneously.
Exactly. And because every single one of those microscopic changes is cryptographically signed and linked to the change immediately before it, Haven creates a permanent, unbreakable chain of events.
Which powers the document history graph, right? You can open a visual map of a document and see every branch. Like every time someone went offline, when they merged back in, and exactly who changed what character.
Yeah, it's a completely transparent audit trail.
And because of that cryptographic chain, it is impossible for a bad actor in the workspace to quietly erase a paragraph and cover their tracks. I mean, altering a past edit would mathematically invalidate every single change that came after it.
Which forces absolute accountability. You have an immutable record of truth generated entirely by the local clients.
Okay, so we've established this impenetrable collision-proof vault. We can invite our team securely, and we can work offline without fear. But an empty vault is useless.
Right. You need to actually do something in there.
Exactly. If we want to get work done, we need tools that can operate inside the vault without breaking the locks. So what does this all mean for actually using the software?
Well, this is the transition point where Haven shifts from being just a secure storage system into an actual application hosting platform.
And when you log into that beta site at https.haven.mindob.com, your workspace isn't empty. It comes preloaded with sample tools built on the MinduDB app SDK.
Right. You just hit the applications dropdown and you can start using them right away.
Yeah.
They really showcase what the interface can do.
Yeah. A great example to look at is Mindu Vega. It's incredibly practical.
Vega is fascinating.
Let's say you're planning a massive project. Vega lets you dump all your thoughts into this sprawling visual mind map so you can see the connections. But then with one click, it takes that exact same data and visually rearranges it into a structured Kanban board.
Like Trello.
Yes, exactly like Trello. You suddenly have organized columns and task assignments without having to re-enter a single piece of data.
And there's also Mindu Tauto Manager.
Yeah.
Rather than just giving you a stressful vertical list of chores, it uses Stephen Covey's four-quadrant method.
The urgent versus important matrix.
Exactly. It forces you to categorize tasks by what is genuinely important versus what is merely urgent. It's more of a workflow visualization tool than just a to-do list.
And they also included a really polished app called Mindu Weather, which gives you a 10-day forecast, pulling data from keyless open media APIs. But the reason it's included isn't really just to check the rain. It's to demonstrate how apps physically behave in the Haven interface.
Right, the shape-shifting aspect.
Yeah. If you squeeze the weather app into a tiny square tile on your screen, it adapts and just shows the current temperature. But if you click and drag the corner of that tile to stretch it across your monitor, the app dynamically expands to reveal a multi-day forecast and air quality data.
The apps adapt to fit however you want your workspace to look. But bringing applications into a secure environment introduces a massive vulnerability.
Oh, for sure.
If you've gone to all this trouble to cryptographically secure your data, you cannot allow a weather app or a to-do list to just roam freely through your hard drive.
Right. It's like if I hire an independent contractor to paint a room inside my secure office building, I don't give them a master key to the filing cabinets. I lock them in that specific room. Haven handles this by putting every single app inside a sandbox.
Technically, that sandbox is an isolated iframe enforced by the web browser itself. The app inside the iframe cannot touch your local storage. It cannot read your cookies. It can't even communicate with the Kanban board sitting right next to it.
It is entirely contained. But if it's entirely contained, how does it actually save my tasks or read my data?
Through the Haven Bridge. The bridge acts as a highly disciplined security guard.
Okay.
If the Total Manager app wants to save a new task, it cannot write to the database directly. It must formulate a request and politely hand it to the bridge.
And then the bridge decides.
Exactly. The bridge verifies the specific permissions you granted to that app. If you installed an app and marked it as read-only, and it suddenly tries to alter a file, the bridge simply drops the request into the void. The architecture protects your data from the applications you choose to run.
Which brings us to the most revolutionary part of this entire deep dive. Here's where it gets really interesting. The sample tools are great, but the true power here is that you're not limited to what is on the shelf. You can become the builder?
Yes. Haven is designed for users to develop their own custom apps using that same SDK.
And traditionally, that meant you had to be a seasoned software engineer. But that barrier to entry has been drastically lowered by a single structured file provided by MinduDB, which is called llms-full.txt.
We really need to unpack how this works because it honestly sounds like magic.
It really does. If I want to use an AI like Claude or ChatGPT to code an app for Haven, the AI has a problem. It was trained on public data, so it doesn't inherently know how the proprietary Haven Bridge works or how to communicate with this specific secure vault.
Exactly. The AI lacks the context of the environment. The llms-full.txt file solves this. It's a highly compressed, structured instruction manual for the Haven platform written specifically for an artificial intelligence to ingest.
So imagine you own a bakery and you want a highly specific app that tracks your flour inventory and automatically creates a Kanban card when supplies are low. You do not need to know how to code.
Not at all.
You take that text file, you paste it into the AI, and you type in plain English. Build me an inventory tracker for my bakery that connects to a Kanban board.
And the file acts as a Rosetta Stone. It gives the AI the exact syntax and protocols needed to generate code that will successfully talk to the Haven Bridge.
The AI spits out the code, you load it into your workspace, and you have literally spoken a custom workflow into existence. And it's running entirely locally inside your cryptographically secure sandbox.
It really gives anyone the power to design bespoke software without compromising their data privacy.
It's incredible. But as you begin generating these custom tools, you will inevitably end up with data scattered across different databases or even entirely different tenants.
Which is where a feature called virtual views becomes essential.
Because if my data is in all these mathematically locked silos, I still need a way to look at the big picture.
Right. Think of a virtual view as a secure lens. Let's say you have one tenant dedicated to highly sensitive corporate deadlines and a completely separate tenant on your phone dedicated to your kids' soccer schedules.
Which use different encryption keys.
Yes, they are fundamentally walled off from each other. A virtual view allows you to query both of those databases simultaneously through the bridge and project the results onto a single, unified To-Do Today dashboard.
So I can see my corporate deadline and the soccer game right next to each other on my screen, but the underlying data hasn't actually moved. The keys haven't mixed. I'm just projecting them into one view.
Correct. It allows you to synthesize your life without breaking the firewalls.
Now, whenever we look at a platform with this level of architecture and we say you can test it for free, the natural skepticism kicks in. What is the business model here? If the platform is open source, using an Apache 2.0 license, how does the company actually survive?
The Apache 2.0 license is critical because it guarantees no vendor lock-in. The syncing protocols and data formats are public. If you decide Haven isn't for you, you take your data and walk away.
Okay, but how do they make money?
Right, the business model is divided into two tiers. The beta you can access right now at https.haven.mindedb.com is Haven Community. It is entirely free, and it is fully capable of running real production-level work.
Okay, so the underlying engine and the visual web app are free. I assume if I'm a massive Fortune 500 corporation, I am not going to rely on a free community tool without central management. They must be building a corporate tier.
Precisely. They will introduce a commercial version called Haven Enterprise. Enterprise is built for fleet management.
So IT departments.
Yeah, it allows a corporate IT department to slap their own logos and brand colors on the interface. It allows them to push pre-configured app templates to 1,000 employees at once, manage centralized backups, and, you know, run an internal company app store.
But the core tech is the same.
Exactly. The foundational technology, the MinduDB engine, the local first data model, and the free PWA remains completely open. The enterprise tier simply layers administrative convenience over the exact same secure engine.
Okay, let's zoom out and look at the journey we have covered in this deep dive. We started with the sheer panic of an internet outage and the quiet dread of relying on massive cloud servers to protect our private thoughts.
A very real modern problem.
And we replaced that entire model with a local first workspace that lives physically inside your browser, which you can go set up right now at https.haven.mindob.com. We deployed that local vault to a relay server, securely invited colleagues, using a zero-trust handshake that separates the safe from the combination.
And we bypassed offline data collisions using timeline merging CRDTs.
Right. We equipped the space with sandboxed apps, and we learned how an instruction manual for AI lets anyone build custom tools. And through all of it, every single keystroke remains cryptographically chained and entirely yours.
It is a fundamental inversion of the modern software dynamic. It shifts the power and the keys back to the user.
If you want to see what this paradigm shift actually looks like in practice, go to https.haven.mindedb.com. Run through that 10-minute setup wizard. Just experience what it feels like when an application doesn't have to ask a server for permission to show you your own work.
And I want to leave you with a broader thought to consider. Every week, there was a new headline about a catastrophic data breach. Millions of records exposed, passwords stolen. The tech industry's standard response is to continually try and build thicker walls around those massive servers.
Right, more security software, more guards.
Exactly.
Right.
But what if that is the wrong architectural approach entirely? What if the ultimate solution to the data breach epidemic isn't building an impenetrable server, but designing software where a fully compromised hacked server yields absolutely nothing but useless ciphertext?
Wow.
If the hackers break in and find nothing but mathematical noise, does this local-first, zero-trust model represent the end of the data breach era?
It is a completely different way of thinking. It's no longer about trusting the landlord of the skyscraper, you know. It's about making absolutely sure that your filing cabinet only ever opens for you. Lots to think about there. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.